Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the scripture just read from the book of Exodus. We'll also consult a few verses from Leviticus chapter 16. My dear Christian friends, the scene of our text is Mount Sinai in Arabia. The Israelites have left Egypt 3 months before. Moses is summoned by God as the Israelites encamp beneath the mountain to that mountaintop to receive the law and other instruction concerning the ceremony and religious rites of the Jewish religion. God, in the immediate context, is telling Moses about the construction of the tabernacle that should be prepared for Israel, that movable tent which went wherever the people of God went. The tabernacle had certain furniture within. The most important furniture was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, dimensions today of a cubit, given in cubits in the scripture, a cubit is about 18 inches as we believe, and the Ark of the Covenant was about 3 3/4 feet long, about 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet deep. In it, Moses was asked, first of all, to place the 2 stone tablets bearing the 10 commandments. And we pick up the discussion concerning the Ark of the Covenant with reference to the lid. In verse 17, the first verse of our text, God tells Moses, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 1/2 cubits shall be its length, and 1 1/2 cubits its width. As we read on, we note that the mercy seat, so translated in the New King James Version here, refers to the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Obviously, its length and width would be the same as the length and width of the Ark, which it covers. All is to be overlaid with gold because of its preciousness, overlaid within and without. 2 cherubim at the ends of the Ark, with wings facing inwardly and their eyes to the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Rings on the side, 4, 2 and 2, in which poles can be placed so that when the Israelites move, the Ark of the Covenant will accompany them. We were to ask, where is the local presence of God in the world at the time of the Israelites? We would say in the Israelite camp. Where more specifically? In the tabernacle. Where more specifically? In the Holy of Holies. Where more specifically? At the Ark of the Covenant. Where most specifically? At the lid of the Ark, on top of the lid between the 2 cherubim. And that local presence was of great significance to Israel. What was that significance? One thing you said here in the last verse of our text. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the Ark, so it's a lid, and in the Ark you will put the testimony, the 2 tables of the law that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the Ark of the Testimony. Of all things I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. God speaking to Moses. Throughout that period of wilderness wandering, Moses was privileged to speak directly to God in the central seat of his local presence in the universe at that time, namely at the Ark of the Covenant, and God localized at the mercy seat, its covering. Why is it called a mercy seat in translation? Because from that location, God dispensed mercy and grace and blessing. This brings us to the Leviticus record and Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. Once a year, the high priest was asked by God, and Leviticus 16 gives us that information, with special clothing and all the rest, to go into that place and make atonement for the people of Israel in conjunction. He is to take an animal and sacrifice it, first of all for himself, and then to go in with the animal blood captured in a basin and take his fingers and sprinkle the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Then he is to take a goat, gather its blood, and do exactly the same thing, drinking the blood again. The first time it was for his own sins, the second time for the sins of the congregation of Israel. Listen to these directions briefly read from Leviticus 16, beginning at verse 14. He, the high priest, shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood and with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So shall he make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of meeting which shall remain among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he, the high priest, goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. This great day, therefore, is called Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. Now, what's the significance of all of this? We note that typical sacrificial animal blood was presented to the very presence of God, so that God, seeing that sacrificed blood, would be merciful and would dispense mercy from the mercy seat to Israel, all of whom had sinned. But an atonement was made, and God, seeing that atonement, could extend mercy to the sinful people. What's the real significance of this matter? We go to Romans 3:25. And we read these words. Paul says in 3:25, God set forth Christ as a mercy seat, effective through faith in connection with his blood. The mercy seat, the lid of the ark, was a prefigurement of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And he was to become the bloody Christ of Calvary, as that blood streamed from his holy womb. For without the shedding of blood, there is no mercy. That he might there once and for all, finally and forever, atone for the sins of every last man, woman, and child of the human race, beginning with Adam and Eve, to a final generation of humans who will then see the Lord coming on the last day in glory for the final judgment. Everyone's sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ in full. The holy justice of God has been satisfied by Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary. And that means that all of your sins and my sins, scarlet and heinous transgressions included, have been fully and finally paid for by the Savior. When Israel went with the high priest to the ceremony on Yom Kippur, just described, they were taught that one day what was prefigured there, an animal sacrifice, would happen in connection with their Messiah, who would one day appear and make the actual universal atonement. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that the people, where they were properly taught in the Old Testament, recognized that the blood of bulls and goats and other animals couldn't actually remove the moral defilement of sin. It could cleanse away ceremonial uncleanness. But their faith vision was pointed forward through these sacrifices to the great antitypical sacrifice which Christ, the Son of God, one day would make, so that a universal atonement for the transgressions of mankind could be accomplished. Israelites who beheld this and believed what was significant in his ceremony then received the forgiveness of sin. Remember, inside that ark were the two tables of God's law, which accused the sinner. The law says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, temporally and eternally. But when Christ becomes the bloody Christ of Calvary, then the atonement is made, his righteousness is received by faith, and then Christ acts as a cover over the voice of the law. The accusations can't get through to God. He muffles the voice of the law, He has fulfilled the law in our stead. Through faith in him, we are perfectly righteous and pure in the sight of God. We are clothed with his perfection and his merit. That's the significance of the activity on your history. That's the significance of Christ being the mercy seat, the seat from which God's mercy and forgiveness and blessing is dispensed, so that you and I can be partakers of the gifts of salvation, many of them granted us in this life already as precursor benedictions for the ineffable glory we shall one day receive in heaven. As you and I, through faith, embrace Christ, our mercy seat, we have forgiveness, we have peace with God, we have the Savior's power at our disposal to live to his glory and serve him as his word indicates. Not in order to be saved do we do the work in love to serve him, but because we have been saved and we want to live out our plans and our desire to glorify him, then proceed apace. Praise God for our mercy. And we praise God that the people in the Old Testament had the same gospel that we did, the same way of salvation that we know. The only difference was they looked forward to the Christ who would come and become the universal synagogue. We look back upon the Christ who has come 1900 and some years ago and has paid for our sins and the world's sins. That through faith in him, we have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Let us live now to the glory of this precious faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.